We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So we've got top three at six coming up in just a few minutes. We are in an audio medium, which means you listen to things, you hear sound bites, you hear clips. We're not a visual medium. And so I will tell you what Mike and I are about to talk about is a visual medium. You need to go see it, and I suggest you go check it out. It's getting a lot of run, and a lot of people are talking about it. And Mike was talking to me about it earlier in the show. And, you know, first and foremost, let's kind of set the tone of where we come from and what we believe. We've never been for, okay, men abusing women, men hitting women, people bullying people, all of that kind of stuff. We've never stood for that kind of stuff, okay? But we also understand that the world has changed. And Mike and I talk about this all the time. Some of the jokes we used to be able to do, can't do anymore. Some of the things we used to say, can't say. I might say privately to him, right, can't say it on the air, where before I might have. So Gillette comes out with this new ad, Mike Bell. And everybody's going crazy because the ad is not about shaving, okay? And I'm reading directly from Gillette here. The ad basically takes on toxic masculinity, bullying, and harassment, okay? And if you've not seen this, as I said, it's a visual that you're going to watch, and they're going to be releasing a lot more of these ads, I'm assuming, maybe even leading up to Super Bowl, and they're going to give a lot of money back to charities and Boys and Girls Clubs and whatnot. But the ad presents the worst of male behavior. And basically, Gillette asked the question, which is their slogan, is this the best a man can get?
So now it's replaced with the best men can be. And if you, again, you got to see the video before you can comment on it, guys. The commercial, it's out there. You can just Google it because it is trending right now on social media and on websites. But, I mean, look, we've talked about it a million times. We hear about athletes putting their hands on a woman. We always say, hey, let's wait till we hear the full story. But if a guy does, we don't want to hear about this guy again in the NFL, et cetera. So, you know, we don't want to sound like cavemen because, look, it is there is a locker room mentality to sports talk radio, which has eroded, to Carl's point. We don't really engage in some of the things that we used to. Look, I got nailed for saying something stupid years ago, which I regret. But, you know, there are some things about this ad campaign which has a lot of people fired up. Certainly there's things that men should not be doing, sexual harassment, and women won't stand for it now in the workplace or in any social setting either. But the idea that, you know, you don't want your kids to stand up for themselves or do they get an adult involved if they feel they're being bullied. The bullying thing is different because I don't have kids to worry about it. You know, Carl, but I know it is a major concern for parents, or, you know, that are listening to our show right now.
Yeah.
You know, for guys of our age, it's kind of something, when we first heard about bullying, we kind of laughed at it. But, I mean, it's a different world we live in nowadays, and how kids respond and react in some cases, you know, it is a very serious issue. But some people are going bananas. The very, very hardcore dudes are saying, what, I can't be a masculine man anymore? Guy says, I'm never going to use your product anymore. Since I've been 12 years old, I've used Gillette. My father used it. Collectively, I will never use your product again. Gillette has made it clear they don't want the business of masculine men. I will grant their wish. So there is, in this case, blowback. Just like when Nike makes a social commentary, or in this case, Gillette, their heart might be in the right place, but some people are not getting the message.
Yeah, it's not about masculinity. This is really, and this is what I said, the visual medium. The commercial transitions to images of men doing better. There's nothing wrong with this. You know, intervening against sexual harassment, okay?
Right, you see a guy, that's displayed in the spot. In
correct.
The commercial.
Teaching, you know, self-love to your daughter. This is in the spot. Promoting peace over violence. There's nothing wrong with this stuff. It's not, you know, I'm not looking at this and saying, well, I can't be masculine and you're taking this away from me, or you don't want to, you know, men to be masculine. It's not saying that. So,
and by the way, I wasn't saying, I'm just reading some of the tweets in the New York Times article.
Because people are going, you know, like you said, they're going out of bounds with this. But the commercial, like many commercials these days, has nothing to do with shaving. This is more about a social commentary and a message. And so that's why we just brought it up, because it plays on so many different levels, as Mike brought up with the sports and things that we talk about. But a bottom line for me is the cyberbullying is big. And I wasn't aware of this until, you know, again, my daughter got a certain age. And if you have teenage kids or, you know, tweens, mm-hmm. you understand this, how one comment then turns into 50 comments from friends, maybe all piling up on your kids, and you go, well, you know, back in our day, if that happened, you talked to somebody, you said something, you tried to bully somebody in their face, it was a different outcome. This is that cybering bully thing that just kind of perpetuates itself. And so it's real. But with that said, I don't have any problems with this message, Mike, from Gillette. I think some people will, but I'm curious to see what these other spots are going to look like. But it's crazy to say that, you know, the whole masculinity thing is being taken away.
But it's funny because, like everything else we talked about today on the show, whether it's talking about free Big Macs for a football team at the White House, people get sideways. I mean, and in this case, you know, people feel the culture war is real. People feel that, you know, the Me Too thing, it serves a purpose. It is it's well deserved, and obviously it should have happened a long time ago. But is this it overarching and going too far, where now can a man tell his son to defend himself? You're supposed to get a teacher? I mean, we were told as kids, always try to avoid confrontations. My dad always said, you and I were raised the same way, never put your hand on a woman. But, I mean, my dad also said to me, sometimes if a guy's coming at you, you just got to put him down. You got to sit up, you know, got to stand up for yourself. So, I mean, there are going to be people that are going to interpret this as the erosion of some of the core values of, the, you know, of being a guy. And others are just going to say, hey, it's long overdue, and take time to really look at the commercial and get the message.
Yeah, that's what I would suggest. And listen, you're going to have a different opinion. The ad presents some of the worst male behavior, as I said. When you watch it, there's a boy being bullied called a sissy. Okay. Audiences are laughing along with a man on a sitcom who grabs at a woman's behind. These are things that they're saying. Can't we be better, all right? A businessman in a corporate boardroom condescending to female employees. And then a voice, you know, over notes that men keep on making the same excuses. Boys will be boys. And then it transitions. And so either way, Mike, it's getting some run. We were talking about it amongst ourselves. We tell you, we bring everything to you guys. And once you get a chance to see it, maybe you can comment. You can tweet at us. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. But I don't think this is going away, because they have, again, a series of commercials they'll be coming out with.
And you'll see it, guys. As we said, it's difficult if you're in your car right now or you're still in the office and you hadn't seen it. You're like, what are these guys talking about? But real quick, before we get to the headlines, Craig, following us on Twitter, he says, the commercial paints men with too broad a brush. He says, masculinity is not toxic. The majority are not sexual predators
that's
or
right.
bullies.
Yes.
And I think that's true. I mean, it's certainly something, as we said, that was long overdue, because there's too much grab bag going on in the office, too much nonsense. If that's your daughter, if that's your wife, you wouldn't want her subjected to that. But some people would also say, you know, being a guy and teaching your kid core masculine values is not the worst thing either.
No, Mike, and I've said this, and you can be mad at me. Boys need boys to learn from men. They need men to learn how to be men. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. Hey, let's get to the top three at six.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it all?
Let's start first with our Atlanta Hawks, who are in action tonight. They're taking on the Thunder down at State Farm Arena. Pregame at 7. Tip-off at 7:30, guys. And as a matter of fact, we got a chance to hear from Travis Slink, who came on the radio station talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
They're extremely long. They're extremely athletic with Russ and Paul. But the, you know, guys off the bench come in and they play hard. And, you know, Steven Adams anchor in the middle for them as a big physical guy inside. So they're a good team, no question.
All right, we'll see what happens tonight. Mike and I actually going down to the game tonight. And again, our philosophy, listen, we want to see a great game, compete, be close. Take the U.
Yeah, but I want to see Trey hitting his threes, you know, doing his thing. Because, man, I know we said we'll know what this trade was about 3 years down the road, where we fully see how the trade and the picks that we got and the pick that we got, how that player develops in addition to Trey Young. But, man, Luka Doncic seems to be making the headlines every other day. You know, you heard the Steve Kerr comments the other day saying, man, this sure looks like an all-star to me.
It does. Story number two, guys, we were out at the Atlanta United training grounds yesterday. The introduction of our new manager, Frank DeBoer. Frank came on the show. If that interview, if you missed it, go online at 929thegame.com. Check it out. He had some really interesting things to say as we talked about his past, what he hopes to bring here. But today, our guys were back on the pitch training, and Michael Parkhurst talking about how good it felt to win the cup, but you got to get back to it.
Well, thankfully, we won it, because, I mean, coming back here on that short of an offseason, having not won it would have been a lot more difficult than walking in through the front doors and seeing the trophy there. So that definitely helps. But, you know, it seems like, you want to be able to enjoy that, and we did. But now the challenge is, focusing on the new season, the upcoming games, the expectations, the CONCACAF tournament, and making sure that we're ready for that.
So much stuff to do, man. Really, I mean, to say this is a compressed schedule is an understatement. And maybe this means we're going to see more and more of the two Utes. We'll see more from Atlanta United, too, and from our bench. Speaking of which, nowhere to put this guy on the starting team because he's an international, but Atlanta United signs from Watford of the English Premier League. He's had a few starts for them. A youngster, 19 years old, Dion Pereira, and most likely he'll see some time at Atlanta United, too.
DP?
DP, yes, as Darren Eales tweeted out.
Darren Eales referred to him as, I see a DP signing coming in. People were like, story number three. We were talking about this earlier. And dog fans, if you missed this, you can always go check out our show, guys. It's on iTunes. It's absolutely free. Go to the website as well. But we were talking earlier in the show about Jaden Hazelwood. Now, this was the number one wide receiver in the country, being recruited by everybody. Everybody thought he was going to go to Georgia for the most part. And then Hazelwood does this podcast talking to, with his mom, actually, and you hear him. He might be getting a tattoo. I haven't seen the physical scene of it.
It's called Ink Talk, so somebody's Ink getting talk. A tattoo.
Yeah, so he's in this shop, but basically calling the UGA staff out and saying the recruiting process, at least the end part of it, where he was getting down to his decision knowing Chaney was about to leave, it felt fake.
They was trying to make you too happy and then just change when you get there. Like, bro, I know that's going to happen.
Right. Because you look, the offensive coordinator already gone.
He gone, exactly.
He already gone.
And he sat down in our house and explained how he going to
exactly.
Gonna
right, how he going to use
then
you.
Then he did.
As soon as he's gone. Over, he gone.
What did I tell you in the house?
Yeah. You was like, they fake.
Yeah.
For worse than a car sales.
Yeah, that's right. All they are is car sales. Right. That's it.
Harsh words, Mike Bell.
I mean, two ways. And we chopped this up earlier for guys to listen to the whole show. I mean, look, first off, he's landed on his feet. He's in a great spot at Oklahoma where obviously he's going to see a lot of footballs his coming his way. Chaney, whether or not he knew he was going to take the Tennessee job when he was still, putting the full court press on the young man to come to Georgia, don't know. But I think the young man got a nice life lesson. There's a lot of BS in this world, and a lot of this happens in the college recruiting process.
Yeah, listen, his mom's there. You hear her voice in the background. You know, to call him car salesman, listen, the recruiting process can be difficult. And I think the job, Mike, is deciphering from the BS and the real, And that's hopefully you make the right decision for you. But that's why we have so many kids transferring, because they get to there, they get to wherever they're going, and then they realize it wasn't what they expected, and then they end up transferring. So I wish the kid luck, but that came out, and a lot of Georgia fans were like, whoa, hold on.
As I said, he also was really interested at one point in Miami, and they were kind of put off by how things went with Mark Richt. That's the world of college sports. But the aunt said, Jaden's aunt, that the dream school apparently was Oklahoma from the beginning, so okay. He lands where he wanted to go.
All right, good deal, man. Hey, we want to give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Meal, M-E-A-L, meal.
So Dr. Bobby today, he says, I got to skip a few. Meal, M-E-A-L, meal gets texted to 72881. Final chance today for the $1,000. Answer your phone because that's the way you're going to win the money if you text it in there.
Yeah, when you go to the doctor and they always are like, can you get on the scale? You just want to give them your weight. You don't ever want to get on the scale. You're like, I weigh about... No, you have to get on the scale.
I told the nurse assistant there, I said that, you take 30 pounds off for your clothes, right?
Meal, guys. Text it right now. Coming up, Brian Billick joined the program earlier today, and NFL Network analyst. We talked to him about the playoffs. We also asked him specifically about the hires of Dirk Cutter and Mike Mularkey. Stay right there. You'll hear what he has to say coming up on Dukes and Bell. Damn it, Craig!
Hey, now.
We welcome in our guest. We get a chance to talk to Brian Billick on a regular on this show. He's NFL Network analyst now, obviously Super Bowl champion winning coach. And I want to start with Big Red because, Brian, we talked to you a few weeks ago and you said, listen, I take Big Red's career over my career because people think, winning the Super Bowl, he's had longevity, he's made a lot of money, he's done all these great things. And here he is now hosting an AFC championship game. Have you had a chance to talk to Andy Reid? And if you have, what did you say to him? But more importantly, I think the Chiefs are ready for this moment.
Yeah, I think they are too. I haven't talked to Andy, but I'm excited for him. Obviously, it's an outstanding team, young quarterback operating at a level that I don't think anybody could have imagined that he was going to have this kind of productivity. fascinating matchup when you've got the old venerable Tom Brady coming into Kansas City against the young gun in Patrick Mahomes, and not unlike with Drew Brees obviously going to get up against Jared Goff. So it's going to be a challenge for the Patriots. The weather's going to be a factor. The idea that they'll, which may suit them, you know, Brady wants to play small ball, high completion percentage. They ran the ball very well against the Chargers. Mahomes, big play, you know, mentality. It'll be interesting to see if the weather inhibits that at all, but it's a fascinating matchup. And I think Andy Reid's best opportunity to take a Super Bowl caliber team into Atlanta.
Hey, Brian, do you think that Damian Williams can do the same kind of thing he did this week against the Colts? Because, you know, as a running back, losing Kareem Hunt, you thought that'd be a real shock to their system, but the dude was money last week.
Yeah, I think all the teams that ran the ball so well, I think that was the most distinguishing factor of the teams that won. And according to chalk, I mean, you get excited about wild card weekend and, you know, teams like the Ravens and Chargers and Dallas is playing well, and boy, could they make a run. But here we are with the number one and two seeds, and likely in the favored teams are the number one seeds. But all of the teams, whether it's the Chiefs and, as you said, Damian Williams running for 129 yards, both C.J. Anderson and Gurley going for better than 100 yards, Sony Michel with the Patriots going for 129, and the Saints collectively running for 138. So in the age of wide-open football and great quarterback play, it's the running game of last weekend that I thought was the most notable.
It is Brian Billick. Guys, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. We've talked about it a lot here on the program. And make sure you use the promo code Billick for $20 off your first purchase for seats at any event, guys, whether it's concerts, sporting events, it doesn't matter. Coach, as you look at, you know, the Patriots, and Mike and I have been talking a lot about this, and how Josh McDaniels continues to reinvent this offense and reinvent the Patriots, this is the brilliance of McDaniels, isn't it? Because it seems like every time you think you know what they're going to do, they do something completely different.
Well, I'd say on the defensive side as well, there's no team in the league that morphs itself situationally from one week to the next. You're exactly right. We've seen the Patriots on a given week decide they're going to run the ball 40 times, come hell or high water, and then the next week decide they're not going to run the ball at all because they feel like throwing the ball is the way to get it done. So the challenge for them, obviously, going against a high-flying offense like the Chiefs, is when the Chiefs have struggled is when you maintain possession of the ball. And that's exactly what the Patriots are going to have to do. Now, whether that means small ball, extended handoff, short passing game, Edelman, Bronk underneath, or whether it's a combination of that and obviously getting Sony Michel cranked up the way they did last week against the Chargers and continue to pound away. The Chargers deploy a smaller, more athletic defense, as does Kansas City. So I imagine that the Patriots, part of their game plan is going to be to think that they can run the ball on that smaller Kansas City defense.
It's only been one time in the last six games, as Brian Billick joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, only one of the last six where Jared Goff has gone over 300 yards passing. What's going on there? Is it some of the effects of Todd Gurley not being as effective late in the season? What's going on with the quarterback there?
Well, the game last week's a perfect example. It's all he needed to do. They were running the ball so effectively that Todd Gurley or Jared Goff, you obviously could see, was okay. Look, I'm going to take our shots, but I don't need to be, you know, I don't need to be too aggressive here. I certainly don't want to get a turnover or put it on a short field because we're kind of in control of this game in the way we're running the ball. Their defense, I think Cowboys were 1 of 10 on third down, so their defense was doing the job. So I think it's less of a matter of Jared Goff not playing as well or taking the shots as it was. Look, he did what he needed to do as the quarterback, playing within the flow of the game. Now obviously it's going to be a different game against the Saints. It's have to be a high-scoring affair. He's going to have to crank it up, just like, you know, we talked about. They're going to have to run the ball better. The previous game, those were the three areas. Clearly, I'm talking about the previous game between New Orleans and the Rams in a 45-35 win by New Orleans. The three areas were red zone, where New Orleans was 5 for 5, the Rams were 3 for 5. On third down, New Orleans was 7 of 12. The Rams were 3 of 8. And in rushing, the Saints ran for better than 140 yards. The Rams were under 100. So those three areas are going to have to change. You can't trade field goals for touchdowns in New Orleans against the Saints. You're going to have to convert better on third down to keep the drives alive. And certainly part of that is going to be running the ball better than they did.
Brian Moore, playoff conversation questions for you, but I want to bring it home here to Atlanta and ask you about our new offensive coordinator, which is our old offensive coordinator, in Dirk Cutter. And the hire of Cutter, Mike Mularkey as our tight ends coach, the offensive brain power that I think Dan Quinn went out and acquired versus what we currently had or recently had with Steve Sarkisian. And it's not a knock on Sark. He just had never called plays in the NFL. And, you know, after two seasons, he's moving on. But what do you think about what Dan Quinn did here with the offensive hires?
Yeah, brilliant. You have two coordinator-level coaches that are going to work in combination, certainly with the lead of Dirk Cutter, who've got familiarity with Matt Ryan. I mean, I can't imagine you having a better scenario than that and getting them back to the things that when they were dominant and making their way into Super Bowls.
You know, we just want to get the points, man. We just got to score some points and run the ball. How tough is it going to be for us to find two guards and a tackle with limited cap space and the draft being a real crapshoot with O-line in the last couple of years?
Yeah, that's a challenge, you know, obviously. But you can see, they use the analogy, look at what happened in Indianapolis. They spent the last couple of years expending those resources, primarily out of the draft, some free agency, and building that offensive line. And look what that did for Andrew Luck in terms of the pressure that he was not under, the way he was able to perform. So, yeah, maybe you can't do it all in 1 year, but you clearly got to get started.
It is Brian Billick, guys, joining us, NFL Network analyst. We got the championship games this weekend. Brian, you're a Super Bowl team. You stopped the run, and you ran the football. And, you know, we say the NFL is changing. It's a passing league. You watch these games this weekend, and that's what these games were really about. And I'm just taking you back to your teams, and I know that's always kind of been a philosophy. If you're picking one team this weekend, what team does that best? What is the best run and stop the run football team?
Well, you look at the Rams and the Saints. They're the highest rated offense, defense combined, obviously, and so they're capable of doing both. The Saints have proved very good at stopping the run. They're going to be challenged because these are two teams that can really run the ball very, very well. Of the two in the AFC, you know, again, Kansas City has had its troubles with that. So you've got to believe that the Patriots believe they can go in and run. But at the end of the day, obviously the importance of defense running the ball, but the difference being also compared to when we won our championship, taking nothing away from it, right, we were kind of in a void with our championship the next year with the Patriots and the year after that with Tampa, or maybe it was Tampa and New England. But those 3 years where you had really dominant defenses winning, you know, paving the way to the Super Bowl, we were kind of a void of the great quarterback play. We were transitioning from the Marinos and the Montanas and the Youngs and the Aikmans and that like, and we had not yet fully come into the Peyton Mannings and then Drew Breeses and Brady's and the like of it in terms of where they were playing. That's not the case now. As good as some of these defenses are in the run of the ball, you've got, you know, you're talking about two Hall of Famers for sure, right, in Brady and Breeze in terms of great quarterback. And then these two young quarterbacks that look like they're going to be pretty darn good and certainly have that kind of potential. So you've got really first-rate quarterback play to go with those defenses in the running game.
Injuries are always a part of the postseason, how you can manage it. As Brian Billick joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, if we're talking about run stopping, Sheldon Rankins was part of that big draft class. It really got New Orleans back on the defensive side. Things are cooking. He's out. So they go and pick up somebody as a free agent. I mean, how big will that be, and how can the Rams exploit that?
Yeah, that is huge because obviously you work from the inside out, and that's going to be the strength of your defense, particularly against the run. So to not have Sheldon Rankins should make a difference. Now, you know, again, the defense is playing very, very well. The thing I saw against the Rams when I went back and looked at the New Orleans film versus what happened last week with Dallas, Dallas seemed to be hesitant because of the Rams. Of course, it's up-tempo, no huddle. They run, you know, kind of fake the jet sweep or the ghost sweep on every play to get, you know, Dallas looked a little frozen, like they weren't unsure and who was to do what and who had inside, who had outside, and got gashed. New Orleans, when they played them, you could see everybody did their job. If you were supposed to stop the inside, you took care of the inside, and the outside, somebody else's problem. Or if I'm supposed to account for the jet sweep, I'm not going to worry about it on the inside. Everybody's got to do their job against this multiple running attack of the Rams, and they looked like they did a good job of it, and I'm sure they'll want to pick up with that. But not having Rankins in the middle will make a difference.
Coach, last thing, we've seen a lot of teams go with young head coaches, some with no NFL experience. Take us behind the curtain. in how you select a staff when you really have no NFL experience? A lot of times when you've been in the league, guys know your work. They know who you are. How does a Cliff Kingsbury come in with no NFL head coaching experience and go get a reliable staff? How does that work?
Well, I think you heard in his interview, he's going to rely on Steve Keim to put the staff together to a large degree. I mean, a lot of these young coaches, I mean, that's, and this is neither good nor bad. I don't say this as a negative. It's become a general manager's league. And it's and they're all looking for the next Sean McVay and Matt Nagy, bringing that quarterback whisperer. You know, it's almost like, look, don't worry about the cap. Don't worry about personnel. You don't worry about anything. We're going to lock in your office, shove your meals under the door, and you come out with these great offensive game plans. And that's what they're looking for right now. Good, not good or bad. It just is. Right. And you see in a lot of instances where it's the general manager that's a major, has a major impact in terms of putting staffs together. And as a coach, I, you know, that's something that I'm not comfortable with. But that's where we are right now. And in the case of Cliff Kingsbury, absolutely, having no experience in the NFL per se, particularly from the coaching standpoint, he's going to rely very heavily on the general manager to put that together.
Yeah, man, it's a young whippersnapper league now, man. It's just it's a different world in the NFL. Has it always been copycat like this, though?
Well, yeah, whatever's worked. I mean, and what will happen is, as typical with any coaching cycle, where it's, you know, for a while we go through coaches that have been head coaches before, and then we go through the coordinator route, then we go through maybe the college route a little bit, and you know, the normal success ratio in the NFL for coaching hires is usually about 1 in 4, 1 in 5. So when you in this cycle, and some of these young coaches, some will do well, some won't. And so you'll see that pendulum kind of swing back the other way.
Coach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Coach, for jumping on with us. Brian Billick, NFL Network analyst, guys. You coming to Super Bowl, right? We'll see you here.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, man, advertising. Hopefully we convey messages to you that make you use the products we're talking about, but do you use stuff that you see on TV? For instance, there's like insurance companies are advertising all the time. I mean, those and car dealers are the things in beer you see basically when you're watching sports on a weekend.
They are trying to outdo each other with creativity. You know, growing up, there was a Kool-Aid commercial. I make Kool-Aid for my family. La-da-da-da-da. And so we bought Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Don't squeeze the Charmin. You bought Charmin.
You think Mr. Whipple was a creep?
I'm just saying. It's crazy how you connect with some products, Mike, and you go, yeah, that's the brand. That's what I'm going to buy.
All right, man. Advertising. What you got for us, man? You're on the radio.
Hey man, Carl, I think you just stole mine, but you know, with Punchy busting through the wall, I'll tell you, want to go get some Kool-Aid.
Go get some Kool-Aid.
I love the Kool-Aid. I got like 2 Kool-Aid Man shirts, by the way. I use them as a reference. Not talking about Andy Reid, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, go take a look. Speaking of Andy Reid, I got a pretty funny meme that somebody put together. Go to Mike Bell ATL. Carlos, put them up. See Dukes. Follow us at Dukes and Bell 929.
Who made the Kool-Aid? And who put all that sugar in it? One me, Mom.
You a Country Time lemonade fan?
Oh, loved Country
Time.
That
was tasty, too. That was good. That was solid, man. Scoop that. Throw it in the water. You can't screw that up. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for advertising that worked for you?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, he's the unofficial spokesperson, but I got to give it up to the big homie Snoop Dogg for gin and juice.
Oh, no doubt.
That's my life.
Yeah. You know what? Mm. That's true. And sometimes artists get you into products that you had no idea that you'd end up liking and buying.
Not bad. You're on the radio,
Air Force
buddy.
Ones, that's right.
Hey, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, you sold the Mr. Whipple one, but a couple of them that I like. I like the African-American actor who is asking you, are you in good hands? And they give you that forgiveness policy.
Oh, Dennis Hasbert.
Yeah, right. I like Samuel L. Jackson asking what's in your wallet. And finally, I like the old lady who asked, where's the beef? But I won't buy nothing from anybody says, what's happening, Chief?
Oh, he was rhyming and
stealing
out of that one.
Yeah, was.
A lot of creativity in that.
I was waiting for it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Hey, man, you're on the radio. By the way, the new Geico ads where they're showing you back the old ones.
They're good.
Too damn funny. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for advertising that made you use the product?
All it is the same 8 ingredients mixed in different ways. But if Taco Bell has something that's under $2 that they have on a commercial, I'm buying it at some point during the week.
I'm with you, man. They still do the beef Mexi Melts, Craig. Those are always good. Okay, food, Del Taco. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a commercial that was
I
effective?
I like Del Taco, man.
What you got, man?
Bro, what do you got for advertising?
Turn down your radio. Do I sound that pukey on the air? Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got?
Well, Bob, you do.
I tell you what, Carl, going to be a dandy night tonight down at State Farm Arena. Plenty
you
of
sound just like it.
Great seats available. Out there. Try not to sound that pukey on the air. Hey, buddy, what do you got for us?
Hey, even though it's bad for you, everything's better with Blue Bonnet on it.
Right on, man. Slather your food with Blue Bonnet. I know I did.
Ooh.
Trying to think. You know what I always love, and to this day, every time I see the Pillsbury Doughboy, I just want to just poke him right in his tummy.
Yeah.
Some would say that I have become the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Do you buy those biscuits because of it?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us? Advertising that was effective.
You guys remember in the mid-90s, the Bud Ice Penguin commercial during the Stanley Cup?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Nice pull.
I've never tried. Those were classic.
Yeah, man, the ice, that was a big thing for a while. Remember the, you had like the Mick Dry? Remember that? You had like the dry beer? That was kind of like a ripoff of like Asahi and the Japanese beers that they tried that one.
Did he say he never tried the Bud Ice?
He never tried the Bud Ice.
Wow.
Now, Ice House, remember when that first came? By the way, Dukes and Bell, Hey Man,
Hey Man.
Also 5% alcohol by volume.
Delicious
so
beer.
We thought we'd go for the gusto with our beer for you guys.
For the masses, by the way.
That's right.
Ladies, you can have one or two or how
darn
many ever.
Right. You're on the radio, buddy boy. What do you got for advertising that convinced you to use the product?
Let me see here. For me, I'm old school. It's that Schlitz malt liquor. You drink enough of it, you're going to run to the bathroom like that bull busting through your walls chasing you.
Schlitz malt liquor.
Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you got?
Hey.
Hello? Hello? Too late. You're on the radio, cowboy. What you got?
Hey, this is Tony Carini 2.0. Hey, Carl Lewis, you're 5 yards offside, and that's for you, Barbarino Vinny. Hey, tough guy. I'm sportsmanlike conduct.
Nice. By the way, the refs, and we told you earlier, the official that's calling the game for the Rams, it hadn't been good for the Rams. He was the same ref that called the game they lost in the Superdome earlier this year, Carl. A lot of people said they were really letting the receivers get grabbed by the DBs in that one.
Wow.
So I'm just throwing out there for Falcon fans who are looking for something to hang their hat on. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Now, I really hate this stuff because it still makes you throw up regardless, but that daggone jingle. If you have nausea, heartburn in the dressing room, diarrhea. Man, it's ridiculous how play it back in your head.
That's good.
But that's what they're saying. Good advertising. The jingle doesn't have to be good. Look, the Cars for Kids thing is like a splinter in everyone's brain. It's just got to stick in your noggin. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Effective advertising. Man. What do you got?
The Nerf.
The what?
Nerf.
Nerf football?
Yeah.
Nerf.
Okay.
All okay. Right.
Yeah.
Nerf. Good call,
excellent.
My man.
Thank
little
you.
Fella, thanks for listening.
You're on the radio. You got the final word, man. Advertise that made you use the product. What do you got?
Awesome. Daily, fellas. I listen to you every day on the way home.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. I'm going to go old school. I'm going to throw way back to third grade. Bow nose diddly.
Bobcat
shoes. Saved my life. Best athlete in the world. I love those shoes. I wish they'd bring them back.
Hey, the Bo Jackson stuff, the Nike ads were unbelievable at the time. Right on.
Good stuff, man. Thank you guys for participating in our game winner. We'll come back. We'll tell you who's going to jump on the show tomorrow, and also we'll clear our throats as we get ready for the Hawks next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.